The seventh parak and the balance of our masachta, that's the last three prakim of this masachta, deal with people who donate land, their makdish land, to the Bedek HaBayis, which is the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash. And in order to understand these prakim, we need some background based on the psukim in Vayikra Chaf Hei. When somebody has a property in the land of Israel, you don't own it effectively. Like our common knowledge, common understanding of ownership of land is that it's yours and it's yours forever until you sell it. But when it comes to the land in Eretz Yisrael, when the Yovel comes, the 50th year of the Yovel cycle, it returns to the original owner or the family of the original owner who received it when the land was divided by Yeshua ben Nun. So that's called a stay achuza. That is a land, and it is retained ownership based on one's ancestors. Somebody's ancestor received it. That will stay in the family, and even if they sell it, it's going to be returned at the Yovel. So effectively, it's not an ownership of the land when you sell it. It's a lease to somebody because you know it's going to be for a limited amount of time up until the Yovel. If you sell it with just 3 years left in the Yovel, then it's going to return to the seller at the Yovel. It's going to be a lease for 3 years. There is an exception to the rule, and that is when somebody is makti. Someone donates his stei achuza, that land that is the family property. He donates it to the Beis HaMikdash. In this situation, he has a right to redeem it up until the Yovel. He himself can redeem it. He can be podet. But if he doesn't podet, if he doesn't redeem it out of the ownership of the Hekdesh, in that instance, he's not going to be able to repurchase it. That land is going to be divided between the Kohanim. The Kohanim are going to keep it. So when it comes to being Kodel land, somebody indeed, he was Makdish that land to the Bedek HaBayis, to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash, and he wants to be Kodel. So let's assume that he donates it fairly quickly right after the Yovel year, within the first year after Yovel. So there's a set price. The Torah tells us that he's going to redeem it for 50 shkalim. It's also called slaim in the Mishnah. Then the Torah is called shkalim and the Mishnah is called slaim. So 50 either way. And that is for the field of a certain size. And that size is approximately 75,000 square amas. And the Torah gives it a little bit differently than that. It says it's 50 shkalim for the size of a field that you plant a certain amount of barley seeds in it. It's called a base core, and that turns out to be 75,000 square amas. So the way it works is as follows. If somebody who donated his stei achuza to the Beis HaMikdash, if he redeems it within the first year, he is going to be redeeming it for that set fee of 50 shkalim. But thereafterward, in the 49 years of the Yovel cycle, we don't count the year of the Yovel, and he redeems it partway through, for example, in year two, year three, he's not going to pay the full 50 shkalim. He's going to pay a prorated amount of the 50 shkalim. So if it's prorated 49 years, for each year it comes out that it's one shekel and a little per year that he uses to redeem his stei achuza from the Beis HaMikdash. So indeed, the first three Mishnayos that we're going to deal with in this parak are if somebody was makdish his stei achuza, he was makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash, and he wants to redeem it, and we'll talk about the various requirements. So Mishnah Aleph starts out as follows, and this is not a halachic statement to start with in the Mishnah. It's an Eitzah Tov, it's advice for someone. Ein makdishin lifnei hayovel pachos mishtei shanim. When it comes to being makdish, we said if you makdish it throughout the Yovel cycle, that you can redeem it, and you're going to redeem it for a prorated amount of the 50 shkalim. But an exception to the rule is in the last 2 years before the Yovel, based on Psukim, if you are Makdishit and you want to redeem it, if you want to redeem it within those 2 years before the Yovel, it's not going to simply be a prorated amount with one and a little shkalim for each year, but rather you're going to have to pay the full 50 shkalim in order to redeem it. So this is the Eitzah Tova. Don't be Makdishit within those last 2 years, because if you're going to want to redeem it, you are going to have to redeem it for the full 50 shkalim. So that is ill-advised. And what's interesting here, and this will be important in a little bit, is we're not rounding it up to 2 full years. If we would round it up to 2 full years, then the person would be able to pay out not the full 50 shekel, but he can be poda it for just 2 years' worth. So if you're within that, for example, a year and a half before Yovel, and you're makdishit, and now you want to be poda it, you're going to have to be pode it for the full 50 shkalim, and you're not going to be able to be pode it for a prorated amount. We're going to round up to 2 years. We're not going to round up to 2 years, so you're going to have to, it's within the 2 years accordingly, and you're going to have to be pode it for the full 50 shkalim. Now that is different from the next statement, v'lo go'alim la'achar hayovel pachos mishana. When it comes to, we don't redeem, literally we don't redeem after the yovel year in less than a year. And what that means is that if somebody is redeeming it during the during not the last 2 years before the yovel, but in any of the other years, if you're coming to redeem it, you have to pay for an entire year. So in that case, we do round up. So an example would be that a half a year after the yovel, somebody wants to be poded. He would donated it right after yovel, and he wants to be poded. So he's already in a half a year. So can we prorate a half a year? In other words, in order to redeem it, does he have to pay the full shekel and a little for that first year, and then a shekel and a little for each of the years? He's already half a year in. Can he just be poded for a little bit more than a half a shekel? The Mishnah is telling us we look at full years, we don't look at part years. So if you're going to be redeeming it, for example, 3 years left before the yovel, you're going to have to pay a shekel and a little for each year. And it's same with 2.5 years before the yovel. It's still, we're going to round up to 3 years, and you're going to have to pay three shkalim and a little bit for each of the years. So it seems that these two statements here are contradictory, because in the first statement, we are saying that we are not going to round up to the full 2 years. If you're within the last 2 years of the yovel, you're going to have to redeem for the full 50 shkalim. So we're not rounding up. And in the second statement, it says if you're redeeming at any other times, we are going to consider it a full year. We're not going to prorate the year. So the Mishnah explains as follows: that second statement that says we look only at 4 years, ein mechashrin chadashim lekdash, the default is that we are not going to prorate within a year. When you're redeeming outside of those first two, outside of the 2 years before the yovel, we look at full years only, and that's for the benefit of the hekdash. We're not going to prorate year, and for every year, you're going to have to pay a shekel and a little. Avala hekdash mechashav chadashim. However, when it comes to the last 2 years before yovel, in that instance, it's for the benefit of the hekdash to not round up to the two full years. If we rounded it up to the, if you're a year and a half, for example, and it's two, we wouldn't round up to two full years. If we rounded up to the two full years before yovel, then you'd be able to redeem it on a prorated basis. We don't do that. If you're within those 2 years, we are going to consider within the 2 years, and you're going to have to pay the full 50 shkalim. Continuing, hamakdish at sadeh b'shasa yovel. If somebody was makdish and he wants to be podeh, his sada, and what does that mean, bishasa yovel? When we keep the yovel laws, so halachically yovel and the years of yovel, the halachas of yovel are only adhered to when the majority of Jews are living in the land of Israel. And this is a restatement of what we said before. If you're going to redeem it immediately after the donation, after donating it right after yovel, you donated your field, nosen bezera chomer sorim chamishim shekel kasef, you are going to have to redeem that zera chomer sorim. That is the field that is 75,000 square amos that you can plant. A chomer is a certain amount of barley seeds. The redemption price is going to be 50 shekel for the entire period. That's if you redeem it right after yovel, you donate it, and you redeem it right after the yovel year, it will be the full 50 amount. Otherwise, it's going to be prorated per year. However, our discussion now is how do you compute what is considered in the 75,000 square amos? For example, if you have unusable land there, is that going to be included? So hayusham nikkaim magmukim asra tfachim, if you have ditches that are deep, 10 tfachim, they're filled with water, so they're not usable. Or alternatively, oslaim gvoim asar tfachim, or if you have stones that are high, that have a height of 10 tfachim, again, you can't farm there, they're not usable. Ein nimdadi mima, when somebody donated and he comes and he wants to be podet that field, we are not going to include those areas in the computation of the 75,000 in order to say the fee is going to be 50 shekel. You are actually going to value those unusable farming areas on their actual value, and it's not going to be considered in the redemption price of 50 shekel. That is only going to be usable farmland, 75,000 square amos of usable farmland. So, kachos mikan, however, if it is less than 10 tfachim deep or 10 tfachim high, then nimdani mima will be considered in the 75,000 square amos for the redemption price of 50 shekel per 75,000 square amas. Continuing, Higdisha. If somebody was Makdishit and now he wants to redeem that Steachuza, and it was, for example, Shtaim or Shalosh Shalim Nivnei Yovel, it was 2 years, 3 years, or more, it doesn't matter, as long as it's not in the last 2 years. At any time during the Yovel, Nosen Tzelo Pudyon Hashana, for each and every year, and we're going to look at it as a full year, we're not going to prorate the year, you are going to pay one sela, which is the same of the shekel, and an additional one pudyon, so because we have 50 years and we're prorating it over 50 shekel, and we're prorating it over 49 years, so it comes out to a little bit more than one shekel per year, so that's one sela and the pudyon per year is what is going to be the redemption price. Im amar hareini nosen dvar shana b'shana, if the person comes and says, let me pay it in installments. So, for example, he's got 10 years left before the Yovel and he just wants to pay a tenth of the purchase price, the redemption price each year. So that would be just approximately, it would be one sell and a pudyon for each of the 10 years. So it's 10 shlaim, 10 shkalim and 10 pudyonim. And he says, let me pay it off in installments each year, one shekel and one pudyon. Ain't shalimo, we don't listen to him. Elan nosin et kulak echad, but rather he has to pay the full amount up front, not on an installment basis, in order to be pod, in order to redeem his field from the base of Mikdash. Mishnah Beis teaches us that when it comes to the redemption of the Steachuza that was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not only the donor, which is the ancestral owner of that land, that can redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash, but rather anyone is permitted to redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be at the same set fee for the Steachuza. It's going to be 50 shkalim per base core per 75,000 square amas. And that is going to be the case if they are redeeming it at the beginning of the Yovel. It will be prorated thereafterward for how many years are left in the Yovel cycle. The Mishnah says as follows, Echad HaBalim. This applies to the Balim, the owner, the donor of that field. Echad Kol Adam. It applies to anyone. Anyone is able to redeem the field from the Beis HaMikdash, but there is a fundamental difference between them. Ma Bein HaBalim, LeBein Kol Adam. What's the difference between if the Baal, the former owner, the donor, redeems it from the Beis HaMikdash, or anyone else? And the difference is as follows. Ela Shabalim Nosnim Chomesh. When the Baal is the one who redeems it, he has to add a surcharge on of what's called a Chomesh. The way a Chomesh works is that it's a fifth, but it's a fifth on top. And what that means is, for example, that if the redemption rate is going to be 50 shkalim at the beginning of the Yovel, so you have to pay the full 50 shkalim, if it is the Baal, the donor, he has to add a fifth, which is 12 and a half shkalim on top of it. So he's going to have to redeem it for 62 and a half. So it's a fifth on top, which really is a fourth of the 50. 50 divided by 4 is equal to 12 and a half, so that's a fourth of the 50, but on top of it, it's a fifth, 62 and a half. V'chol adam eino noheg chomesh, nosen chomesh, but no one else has to give the chomesh. So if it's the Baal that's redeeming it, it's going to be 62 and a half. And if it's somebody else that is redeeming it right after the Yovel year, so the first year after the Yovel year, it was donated and it's being redeemed, anyone else is going to redeem it for the straight 50 shkalim. Mishnah Gimel is going to give further detail on what's discussed in Vayikra, Chavzayim, Psukim Chaf, and Chaf Aleph, in that if somebody donates his field to the Beis HaMikdash, and he repurchases it, he redeems it himself before Yovel, he gets to keep it. But, on the other hand, if he donated it to the Beis HaMikdash, and he does not redeem it before Yovel starts, that field is going to be divided up between the Kohanim who are on shift at the base of Mikdash on Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be kept by the Kohanim. The Mishnah is going to give us more detail on this. Hikdish Ogala, if the person, the original owner, the donor of that field to the base of Mikdash, he was Makdishit, and he redeemed it from Hekdesh before Yovel started. Eina Yotzem Yado B'Yovel. He doesn't lose it when it comes to Yovel. He is the owner when Yovel starts. Accordingly, he is going to retain ownership of his field. Ge'ala B'No. If there's a donor, the donor donated his field to the Beis HaMikdash, and before Yovel came, his son, the donor's son, redeemed it from the Beis HaMikdash, Yotza La'aviv B'Yovel. The father is going to get it from the son when Yovel comes. So the father's not going to lose it, even though it's not his when Yovel starts, but because it's his son, based on a pasuk, it's going to revert back to the ownership of the father. On the other hand, Ge'ala Acher, if before Yovel happened, we have this donor, he donated his field, he donated it to the Beis HaMikdash, and somebody else came and redeemed it from the Beis HaMikdash. So that's Ge'ala Acher, O Echad Min HaKrovim, or one of his other relatives, not his son, and from that person, Ugeala Miado, the owner purchased it from that third party. So the owner here is not purchasing it, redeeming it from the Beis HaMikdash. It's not his son that redeemed it from the Beis HaMikdash, but it's a third party or some relative, but not the son. And here we have the original donor. He buys it from that third party before Yovel happens. Eina yotze miyado b'Yovel. The same din will occur that because the owner is the owner of that field when the Yovel starts, even though it's from a third party, he is going to maintain ownership even when Yovel hits. However, Ge'ala echan mina kohanim v'harehi tachas yado, in the situation that one of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash was the one who redeemed it. So here we're thinking that the Kohen who redeemed it from the Beis HaMikdash, and that the owner doesn't purchase it from him, still, nonetheless, that Kohen is going to be thinking, because comes Yovel, it's going to be distributed to the Kohanim, and I'm a Kohen, and I redeemed it before Yovel, he's going to be thinking he gets to keep that field. So again, Ke'ala Echa Mina Kohanim, if it was one of the Kohanim that redeemed that field before Yovel, Tarehi Tachas Yado, and when Yovel starts, he is the owner of it, Lo Yomar Hoel V'Hiyotza L'Kohanim B'Yovel, he shouldn't think, he shouldn't say to himself or others, that because it's going to be distributed in any case to Kohanim when the Yovel comes, so Harei Hitachas Yadi, Harei Yishalo, and I own it when Yovel starts, I'm going to be the keeper, I'm going to be the owner of this field going forward. That's not the case. Ela Yotza L'Kol Echav HaKohanim, but rather, just as was required by the Torah, that when Yovel comes, the person who originally owned it didn't redeem it, it's going to be distributed to the Kohanim. Same thing applies here. When we have this Kohen that redeemed it, he's not going to retain ownership. Come Yovel, it's still going to be distributed to the other Kohanim who are on shift at the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah Dalet continues discussing what happens to the Sadeh, if it's redeemed or not redeemed. But whereas in the prior Mishnah we discussed what happens to the field if a third party redeems it, then comes Yovel, it's distributed to the Kohanim who are on staff at the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. Our Mishnah, in contrast, is going to discuss if no one redeemed that field, now it's Yovel, will the Kohanim still get that field or will they not get that field? So again, it's a situation that nobody redeemed that field prior to Yovel, and now it's Yovel. What happens with that field? We're going to have three different opinions. Mishnah Dalet says as follows: Higia haYovel v'lo nigala. Comes Yovel, that field has not been redeemed by anyone. Opinion number one is haKohanim nichnasin letocha. The Kohanim still get it. This is opinion number one. V'nosni mestameh. However, they have to pay. They have to pay the value of that field. That's going to be the 50 shkalim per base core, per 75,000 square amas, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And if indeed they pay for it, they are going to be able to keep that field permanently. So that's opinion number one. Even when no one redeems the field, it's still going to go to the Kohanim come the Yovel, but they have to pay for it. Opinion number two, Rabbi Shimon Omer, nichnasin avalo nosnin. Rabbi Shimon agrees that they get the field even though no one redeemed it. Comes Yovel, it's distributed to the Kohanim, but they don't have to pay for it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Each of them have extensive limudim from which they obtain their views. And opinion number three is Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Before we read it inside, we'll just talk about what the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. He's of the view that the Kohanim do not get it. The Kohanim only get the fields as per the prior Mishnah, as per the Psukim, when somebody has redeemed that field prior to Yovel. Comes Yovel, that field reverts to the Kohanim. However, our Mishnah is dealing with a situation that nobody redeemed that field. Now comes Yovel, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo nichnasim v'lo nosnim. The Kohanim are not given the field. They don't go into the field. They don't have to pay for the field because they're not getting the field. But rather, there's a different process that the field has to go through as follows. It's called an abandoned field. An abandoned field until the next Yovel comes. And that what's going on here is that up until the next Yovel, somebody can come and redeem it. Now it's still available for somebody to redeem it. If somebody redeems it before the next Yovel, on the next Yovel, the second Yovel, that's when it will revert to the Kohanim. Because again, Rabbi Eliezer's view is it will only revert to the Kohanim. It will only go to the Kohanim if somebody redeems it. So we're going to wait till the next Yovel. If somebody redeems it, then it will go to the Kohanim on the second Yovel. But if nobody redeems it during that time period, Higia HaYovel HaSheni V'lo Nigal, comes to the next Yovel, nobody has redeemed it yet. Again, Nikra it's called a double abandoned field until the Yovel Ashlishi comes, the third Yovel. We're just waiting for somebody to redeem that field, and then on the upcoming Yovel, which this time it will be the third Yovel, then it will go to the Kohanim, and this will continue. The Olamena Kohanim Nichnasim the Socha, this is the third opinion, Rabbi Eliezer continues and says, forever. It will continue. The Kohanim will not have access to that field. It will not be distributed to them. Achi galeno acher, until a third party redeems it. Once a third party redeems it, you wait until the upcoming Yovel, and at that point, it is handed over to the Kohanim who are on staff at the Beis HaMikdash on that Rosh Hashanah. Mishnah is going to tie together a number of issues as it relates to donations of fields to the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to divide up between a stay achuza, which the past few Mishnayos have been discussing, and a stay mikne. And first we'll define what are those two phrases, and then we'll discuss three nafkaminas between them. This is all by way of introduction, and then we'll get into our Mishnah. So a stay achuza, as we have been discussing, is a field that somebody inherits. For example, a father passes away, and the son inherits that field. So that is a stay achuza. Achuza means an inheritance. The stay mikne is from the word liknot, to purchase. This is a field that somebody purchases from a different owner of a field. For example, if somebody has a stay achuza, it's his field. He has it from all the way back when Yeshua ben Nun was instrumental in dividing up the land of Israel, and he sells it during the Yovel cycle. Doesn't matter during which year. We say not during the Yovel year itself, but one of the years he sells his stay achuza. The purchaser has now a stay mikne, and in both of those situations, we'll talk about the nafgamina. Somebody has a stay achuz or he has a stay mikne and he donates it to the Beis HaMikdash. So there are three primary nafkaminas between them. Number one is if the person goes and is poda, redeems it, repurchases it from the Beis HaMikdash during the one of the years up till the over year, almost approximately. Well, there's some exceptions, but let's just say he purchased it at some point during the Yovel cycle. So if it's a stay achuz, as we have seen, there's a set purchase price regardless of the quality of the field, and that purchase price is 50 shkalim for the size of a base core of 75,000 square amas. So if it's a stay achuza, when you repurchase it from the Beis HaMikdash after your makdish it, there's a set fee, 50 shkalim, for a certain size of the field. On the other hand, when it comes to the stay mikna, we paskin that there is not going to be a set fee. It's going to be a valuation based on the actual value of that field. So that's nafkamina number one between a stay achuz and a stay mikna. Nafkamina number two, the person who is makdish it, who donated it to the Beis HaMikdash, when he himself comes and redeems it, if he does so redeem it, does he have to add a chomesh or not? So as we've seen, when it comes to a stay achuza, the person has to pay not only the 50 shekel, 50 shkalim per base core, but also has to add a chomesh. On the other hand, when it's a stay mikna, the person is not required to add on a chomesh. So he's going to certainly simply buy it at the actual value of the field, but will not add a chomesh. That's nafkamina number two between the stay achuza and stay mikna. And nafkamina number three is what happens when Yovel comes. So when it comes to the stay achuza, as we have seen, if the donor has not redeemed the field, that stay achuza, by the time Yovel comes, then he will not be able to redeem it anymore. He is going to lose that field. It's going to be divided up by the Kohanim. On the other hand, when it comes to a stay mikna, That is the person who purchased the field from the original owner. So the original owner, that was the original owner, Shtei Achuza. He bought it, it's his Shtei Mikna, and he goes and he's Makdis it to the Beis HaMikdash. In that situation, when Yovel comes, it will not be divided up by the Kohanim, but rather it will revert back to the original owner. It won't be to revert back to the person who donated it to the Beis HaMikdash. It was his Shtei Mikna. It's going to revert back to that person whose Shtei Achuza is that field. So those are three nafkaminas, and what we're going to start off with in our Mishnah Hey, is trying to categorize a specific couple of situations. Is it going to be considered a Shtei Achuza or a Shtei Mikna? Because there are these three major nafkaminas between whether we classify his field as a Shtei Achuza or a Shtei Mikna. So we're going to start out with one scenario, and then we're going to change the order of the sequence. Mishnah Hey says as follows, three steps. Halakeach sade me'aviv. So the aviv, the father, has the Shtei Achuza, but the father sold it to his son. So apparently, in the hands of the son now, that is a Shtei Mikna, because he's not the original owner of it. The father is still alive. So step number one is the son buys a field from his father, and now it's a Shtei Mikna. Meis aviv, and now the father passes away. So that field in the hands of the son, had he not purchased it, it would have been a Shtei Achuza. So step number one is he purchased it. The son purchases it. That would indicate or show for sure that it's a Shtei Mikna. Next, the father passes away. The field in the hand of the son, absent the hand son having bought it, it would have been a Shtei Achuza. V'acharkach, step number three, Hikdisha, the son, he's Makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. So are we going to consider it a Shtei Mikna or a Shtei Achuza? Harehi k'Shtei Achuza. The Mishnah says that is considered a Shtei Achuza. The father had already passed away at this point, and accordingly it's a Shtei Achuza that has been donated by this son to the Beis HaMikdash, and accordingly the three nafkaminas would apply as if it's a Shtei Achuza. If he wants to redeem it, it's going to be for the set fee of 50 shkalim for a Beis Kor. If he's redeeming it himself, he has to add a Chomesh, and if he doesn't redeem it, and comes the Yovel, he's going to lose that field. It's going to be divided up by the Kohanim. Now we're going to go to scenario number two. We're going to change the order. And first, same step. This first is that the son purchased his field from his father. Father is still alive. But before the father passes away, step number two is he's Makdishit. So he Kdisha. Step number two, he's Makdishit. So he is being Makdishit while it is still a Shtei Mikna. It's not a Shtei Achuza yet. And only thereafter, after he's Makdish, happens step number three. The father now passes away. So how are we going to treat this field? When he was Makdishit, the son was Makdishit, it was a Shtei Mikna, but the father passed away thereafterward. Maybe it's now a Shtei Achuza once the father passes away. So the first Tana, it's Rabbi Meir, Harehi k'Shtei Mikna, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says we go by when the son was Makdishit. Because he was Makdishit, it was still a Shtei Mikna, it was before the father passed away, it's not going to be a Shtei Achuza, but it's going to be a Shtei Mikna, and it's going to have the three nafkaminas pointing in the other direction. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim k'Shtei Achuza, once the father passes away, and even before the father passes away, this is the Chiddush, because it's a son who has a feel that it could be a Shtei Achuza, we treat it immediately as a Shtei Achuza. So even though when he donated it, we would think it's a Shtei Mikna for that son because the father is still alive, but because the son has the potential to inherit that field from the father, we are going to treat it like a Shtei Achuza. Where do we learn that from? Shenemar, because it's a Pasuk. The Pasuk says as follows, V'imet Shtei Mikna so asher lo mi Shtei Achuza. So if you have a Shtei Mikna, that is not a Shtei Achuza. And that word, mi Shtei, Mistachuzato is extra, or at least the mem of it is extra, and the drasha is as follows. When do we treat something as a Shtei Mikna? If it is in your possession and it cannot be yours as a Shtei Achuza. So you purchased it from somebody else, not from your father, for example. So it is in your hands as a Shtei Mikna. But if you have a field that you purchased that could be a Shtei Achuza, we treat it as a Shtei Achuza, even if the father had not passed away yet. So the drasha is as follows. Sadeh she'ena ru'ya liot Shtei Achuza. We have a Shtei Mikna. That is a Sadeh that cannot even potentially be a Shtei Achuza. However, yotze zoshi ru'ya liot Shtei Achuza. That is coming to exclude that a field, even though you purchased it and the father is still alive, but because it is ru'ya, it could potentially be a Shtei Achuza, we're going to treat it as a Shtei Achuza. In other words, if we go back to our fact scenario, when the son purchased the field. Thereafter, he donated it before the father passed away, and then the father passed away. Even though when it was donated, we'd think it's a stay mikne, we are going to treat it like a stay achuza because it's the son who is the one that's donating it to the base of mikdash. It's a field that he indeed has the potential to receive as a yerusha, and accordingly, we're going to treat it as a stay achuza. Now, a couple additional halachas. Stay mikne in a yotze lekohanim biyovel. Halacha is that when you have a stay mikne, that does not go to the kohanim biyovel. We said when it comes to a stay achuza that if the person doesn't redeem that field that he donates, by the time the yovel comes along, he loses it, and it's divided up between the kohanim. If you have a stay mikne, so you have somebody who's donating a field that is not his stay achuza, yovel comes along, it is not divided up by the kohanim, but rather it reverts back to the original owner, the person who sold it to the person who donated it. Why is that? Shein adam makdish davar sheino shelo. This person that purchased that field, that's a stay mikne in his hands, and he donates it to the Beis Hamikdash. He only has partial ownership of that field because he only owns it until the yovel. Comes yovel, it reverts back to the original owner, and that's what will happen. We have a stay mikne that it will revert back to the original owner, come yovel. An additional halacha, kohanim ulevi makdishim la'olam, a kohen, a levi, they can makdish, it's saying, even during the yovel year. This is contrasting to Yisrael, that can only makdish a field during the non-yovel year, 49 years, but on the yovel year, it can no longer be donated by Yisrael, but a kohen or levi can be makdish even during the yovel year. And the last halacha related, v'goa, if we have a kohen or levi, they can redeem it at any time, whether before yovel or after yovel. If we're talking about a kohen or levi that owns a stei achuza, they have a field that is theirs, they inherited it, it is owned by them, they can go and redeem it not only before Yovel as Yisrael can, but even after Yovel. When it comes to Yisrael, if the Yisrael doesn't redeem it before Yovel, he loses it. It's divided up by the Kohanim. But a Kohen can go and redeem it even after the Yovel year. He always has the ability to redeem his stei achuza.